activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast. Brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. It's Wednesday, June 19th, 2013, and time once again for another spectacular Galactic Netcast. This is the Sci-Fi Film School, and this is the one where we're going to get all dystopian on your ass. In chair number one, it's Mr. Matt Stein coming to you from Appleton, Wisconsin. And in chair number two, it's Miss Anessa Moyens from Denton, Texas, and I am your teacher and host, Dave Nelson, currently in Waterloo, Iowa. How you guys doing?
Currently, Dave? Is that going to change?
No. I'm just saying I'm currently in the geographical location I'm at. It's Waterloo, Wisconsin.
Waterloo, Iowa?
Waterloo, Iowa. See? I've been in so many different places, I confused myself. I don't know what...
Just combine everything.
That's why
you got it currently. There you go.
Yeah.
I understand now.
So this is the show where we learn about a particular sci-fi movie that we all watched. Then Matt and Anessa get quizzed at the end of the show, and then you, the listener, can take part in that as well. For our audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show live, just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+, and we'll let you know when and where that's going to be. Have I said the Sci-Fi Film School podcast?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But only fools are positive.
All right. So this week's movie, before we start, Matt, you must introduce your beer for the show.
Ooh.
What are you drinking?
Ooh. This week, I have Arrogant Bastard Ale.
I feel like you need a monocle for that.
On the back, it just says you probably won't like it. It's doubtful you have the taste or sophistication to be able to appreciate this. On the bottom, it says questions or comments. If you don't like it, keep it to yourself. We don't want to hear it.
That is the best. Who brews
nice.
That?
Who's Stone Brewing in California.
Where do you get all these great beers? Are they just available locally or what?
There's a Reddit beer trade.
Ah.
So some guy wanted New Glarus, which he can't get outside of Wisconsin. So I legally shipped him a box of beer.
Nice.
Which is possible to legally ship beer across state lines, but...
You know that we're doing a thing that's on the internet where people can actually hear and see what we're doing?
Yep.
Okay.
Details.
Yep. No one's caught me, so okay. I could just be talking.
Okay. All right. So, okay, what does this beer taste like?
It's considered a strong ale, so it really just tastes like a concentrated beer.
Okay.
There's no fruit flavors. There's no oak notes. Chocolate undertones.
It's just bare bones, just beer.
Yeah, strong ale is pretty straightforward. It's just like a concentrated beer.
Okay.
Take like your average normal craft brew ale and then like double it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. It's only 7%.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I wasn't sure where the strength level was at.
I think the strong is just in terms of the flavor, not necessarily the alcohol content.
Okay.
Yeah. High alcohol content is usually prefaced with the word imperial. So an imperial stout or an imperial IPA, imperial ale. And I think that's like a minimum of 9.5%.
I learn something new every week or every 2 weeks. So you had mentioned that you would like suggestions for beers, right?
Yeah. If anyone knows of a good beer... always looking for beer, new beers. So I don't know, let Dad know, or don't we have like a forum or something?
Well, we have a forum. We have many ways to contact us. We have galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. We have the voicemail number, and that is 805-328-3966. And we do have a forum section on the website, which is galacticnetcasts.com. So maybe message Matt and I, or Anessa. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, too. So,
any or all of the above with your beer suggestions, if you're lucky, I'll get drunk drinking it while doing a show.
and he will say your name.
Yes.
Numerous times.
We're going to start like a Kickstarter. For $5, I'll say your name on the internet. For $10, I'll write your name on my chest.
Please don't. Don't. That's a bad, bad idea. All right, so this is the Sci-Fi Film School podcast. And by the way, just to clarify, you can find us all over the internet via Galactic Netcasts, you know, on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, everything. That's our main name for the network. But this podcast is called the Sci-Fi Film School Podcast. And the movie that we watched this week was Equilibrium. Let me just run down the quick synopsis. In a futuristic world, a strict regime has eliminated war by suppressing emotions. Books, art, and music are strictly forbidden. And feeling is a crime punishable by being burnt to death.
Yeah, there's really no, like, in between. It's zero to barbaric way they treat people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting burnt to death. You're not put under. You're not, knocked out by any drug. You have to walk into the fire, basically.
Get it right. It's being processed.
Oh, processed. Sorry. Okay. So back to the description real quick. Cleric John Preston is a top-ranking government agent responsible for destroying those who resist the rules. When he misses a dose of prosium, a mind-altering drug that hinders emotion, Preston, who has been trained to enforce the strict laws of the new regime, suddenly becomes the only person capable of overthrowing it. And that person is Christian Bale. This is way early in Christian Bale's career, I think. Isn't it? Sort of early.
I'm trying to think. Well, his first movie was... Oh, Wikipedia, you're doing me wrong. Crap. Oh, filmography. Oh, of course. Wikipedia is really just shooting me in the butthole here.
Well, he showed up in miniseries like in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
And then probably small parts.
But his major film career started with what movie?
He was in Pocahontas?
Apparently. He was in A Midsummer Night's Dream in 99. American Psycho 2000.
Okay,
that's what he's really known for.
That was it right there, yeah. You're right.
So that's what really kicked him off.
So this is shortly after that. Other people in this movie, Sean Bean. He was his partner early on, right? That was the guy
That was the guy early on.
Emily Watson played one of the dissidents. One of the, what'd they call them?
Sense offenders.
Yep. And Taye Diggs is the guy that became his.
The new partner.
New partner.
I was really amazed at how quickly they replaced Sean Bean. It was like, bam, next partner.
Yeah. Quick?
They don't mess around.
Yeah, they don't. Directed, written by Kurt Wimmer. Never heard of him. It's currently got 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb. And on Rotten Tomatoes, 37% of critics like it, which is pretty low score. Although audience digs it on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right. I was surprised how little recognition the movie got.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie. It's not bad at all. The only complaint I have, it's too much like The Matrix. That's the only complaint I have.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's maybe why it got kind of overshadowed, because The Matrix came out in 99, this came out in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So people, you know.
The only thing that I really saw that it was like for The Matrix was like the clothing. Because the camera techniques and whatnot for the fight scenes were different.
Well, and the cinematography, I guess, if you really want to get into it.
Yeah.
The way everything was shot, it was very, you know, action-oriented.
Yeah, I thought the fights were very much like The Matrix. Well, and
I always think of, like, the slowing down of the bullets and dodging and stuff. He just kind of, like...
Yeah, but
he
kind of stood in the same place, so... They didn't really slow things down to see him dodging stuff. It was just... His positioning basically helps him avoid bullets.
Yeah.
And doesn't that style of filming go back to like Japan or China? Like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, isn't that?
I'd be surprised if it didn't, yeah. But I can't say for certain.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, grim stats here. Budget of $20 million. Box office, $5.5 million. Ouch.
Yeah. Well, that surprises me. But then again, I didn't hear about this movie, I'd say, the late thousands. So years after it came out.
Okay.
Probably just the marketing and stuff, and I don't know what was released around the same time that might have overshadowed it.
That can do it. I mean, look at this. So. Look at this last weekend. Man of Steel came out, and then that This Is the End movie. This Is the End? Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which got great. I saw their numbers on Rotten Tomatoes getting better numbers than Man of Steel, and just because it was released on the same weekend, it's not going to do anything, you know?
Yep. It's all about timing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
1 hour and 46 minutes runtime, released on December 6th, 2002. Filmed in Germany, Italy, and Canada. And that's it for stats. My thoughts, like I said, very Matrix-like. They spent a majority of their budget, I think, on hair gel. What do you call that? Stuff that you put in your hair? Product? Yeah.
Product, yeah. Gel, hairspray, pomade.
I about cried during the dog scene when he rescued the dog.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yours.
The other thing with this movie is it made me think of Fahrenheit 451.
Yes. Oh, you know what? It made me think of 1984 with the screens constantly showing... You know, that
all the
being drilled into your head, propaganda.
Yeah, and then, of course, 451 with the burning of things that would make people feel, I guess.
But
in 451, it was books because they didn't see them as being useful in any way.
Yeah, I think this movie gets their influences from a lot of different places.
Sci-fi, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very not original.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah,
it has a message behind it.
Yeah,
it definitely does.
Some movies don't really have any sort of message behind it. So
there's a couple of messages. Number one is the whole drug thing, because look at the name of the drug. What's it called?
Prozium.
Very close to Prozac.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh yeah, Prozac. Yeah.
So maybe that's a message, like an anti. Whatever those kind of drugs, psychotropic drugs, to help people. And maybe the filmmaker or the person that wrote this thought that, you know, our society was starting to depend too much on those drugs, you know?
Yeah. Trying to make people think about what it is that they're doing and all the medication that people take to make themselves
feel better. What do you guys think the messages were besides that? Was there any other messages you thought?
Well, if we... I guess, you know, they kind of point out that emotion causes war. But at the same time, if you don't have any sort of feelings or emotions, then what's the point?
And I think you'd get...
It's something that you shouldn't suppress, is basically what I got out of it.
And also, I think that, you know, if you suppress emotions and have... no emotional attachment to what you're doing, I think you can become more violent.
Yep.
Well, exactly.
Keep everything bottled up inside.
There's no personal... There's no inner repercussion for doing something.
Yeah.
He shot his partner and he didn't care.
But he felt no remorse, so it makes it easier to kill.
A complete stranger fell on him and he got his blood on him and he got all weirded out.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. All I remember thinking through the entire movie... And I don't think I've seen this movie since we got dogs. So the dog scene was really hard to watch because I have two dogs. And I don't, like, someone showed up in my house and been like, well, you can't have pets. I don't understand why you have pets, and shot them. I would probably lose it.
Yeah, I would definitely lose it. So.
Yeah, so that was hard to watch, like Dave said. But another thing that I recalled every time something would happen, like he shot his partner, the scene where he's ripping all the plastic off his windows, I was just like, man, like, I wonder what it's like to not feel. Like, to just shoot someone and be like, well, that's what I do.
Well, there's people...
Like, walk.
There's people,
that would make you like a serial killer.
There's people in the world that are naturally like that, you know? That there's, you know, their brain is built differently. They're wired differently.
Yeah, like someone kicks you in the stomach and you're just like, well, that's that guy being that guy, instead of getting angry about it. Like,
yeah.
It's very difficult to remove yourself from your feelings.
Wow, we are getting deep, man. I didn't think
the beer.
I didn't. It's possible, yeah. How do you explain me and Inessa, though? We're not drinking. Are you drinking, Inessa?
No.
No, I'm not either.
You guys are. You're getting drunk off of my love.
All right.
We're living vicariously through Matt.
There was
absolutely.
There was something else I wanted to bring up, and I forget what it was now.
The weird names.
The weird names. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a hard time with the names.
The Necronomicon clerics.
I have a clip that is.
Is it?
I have
Grammaton?
Yeah, it's the Tetragrammaton.
I thought the clerics were Grammaton, and then their higher ups or their council or something was Tetragrammaton.
I think as a whole they're called.
Or
the
as a whole are they the Tetragrammaton? Okay, and then individual they're the Grammaton.
I just thought they individually were clerics. Working for the Tetragrammaton.
I took it as like the Tetragrammaton was like the higher ups, and then you had the Grammaton clerics that were part of the Tetragrammaton.
Okay, stop.
It was just like this weird thing.
You're freaking me out.
Sorry.
It's okay. All right, so before we get into what we learned, we would love your opinion on this film or anything else that we're talking about. And you can use this contact information to give Matt beer suggestions, all right? GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. Our voicemail is 805-328-3966. And like you said earlier, Matt, forum section, we have it at GalacticNetcasts.com/community. So those are our contact information. You guys ready to play some clips?
Mm-hmm.
Ready.
All right. I think Matt is first. What do you got?
Yes, sir. In this opening narration, we learned what has happened to humanity.
All right.
In the first years of the 21st century, a third world war broke out. Those of us who survived knew mankind could never survive. Fourth, that our own volatile natures could simply no longer be risked. So we have created a new arm of the law. The Grammaton cleric, whose sole task it is to seek out and eradicate the true source of man's inhumanity to man. Ability to feel.
It was really hard to capture clips and edit them on this movie because there was always sound or music in the background.
Yeah. And then they had this pause between phrases that they were talking about so you could hear the music more in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
I'm not going to say because I don't want to get arrested and burned to death.
There you go.
I don't understand.
Yeah, they love their techno in this movie. A lot of techno.
Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots.
I've never heard that before. That is funny.
Really?
Yeah. Boots and cats.
I will
and
have
boots.
To post the video to your wall later.
Okay.
Please.
Oh, every week I get something new from Inessa. That's
every
awesome.
Week it's something new. Last week is a banana phone song.
Yes. All right, Inessa, you're up. What do you got?
In this clip, we find out just how special John Preston is.
Thank you for coming, cleric. I assume you know who I am.
Yes, sir, of course. You are Vice-Consul DuPont of the Third Consiliary of the Tetragrammaton.
father's voice.
Quite frankly, Cleric, I'm told that you were very nearly a prodigal student, knowing almost instantly if someone is feeling.
I have a good record, sir.
Why do you imagine that is, Cleric?
I'm not sure, Vice Counsel. Somehow, I'm able, on some level, to sense how an offender thinks, to put myself in their position.
If you had ceased your interval, if you were a sense offender.
I suppose you could say that, sir.
The next portion, I didn't keep it. I didn't record it. They talk about his wife and him not being able to sense that she was a sense offender. So there, yeah.
Just waiting for something else to happen.
That's all I got. All right, so yeah, part of that, his explanation was that there was more to that conversation. They talk about his kids. And speaking of his kids, we learn that John's boy is a effing hard ass. So here you go. Whoa. What are you doing? Hang on. I'm getting a notification.
That was me.
What are you doing? I said, what are you doing?
I accidentally dropped my morning interval. I took it out before I brushed my teeth. Never take it out before I brush my teeth.
Then you'll go by equilibrium, log the loss, and get a replacement.
Yes. Of course.
That kid was awesome. I loved that kid.
I wanted to slap him.
I kind of did too.
He just upset me.
But then later on, we find out that him and his sister have been off the drug for a while, which was cool.
Yeah, but at first, he just kind of has this attitude that you just want to like bop him upside the head.
I'm looking at you, Dad. No, he didn't even call him Dad.
He called him John.
He called him Dad once, and that's the point at which you realize that his kid was off his intervals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His intervals. That's funny. All right, Matt, what do you got?
Oh, God, I was mid-drink.
Sorry.
No, it's cool. Here we find out that John and the prisoner have a difference of opinion.
Let me ask you something. Why are you alive?
I live to safeguard the continuity of this great society, to serve Libria.
It's circular. You exist to continue your existence. What's the point?
What's the point of your existence?
To feel. Because you've never done it, you can never know it. But it's as vital as breath. And without it, without love, without anger, without sorrow, breath is just a clock ticking.
Then I have no choice but to remand you to the Palace of Justice for processing.
Processing? You mean execution, don't you?
Yes, that's exactly what we mean.
I just like that they call Palace of...
Say it again, you were cutting out.
Oh, I like how they call it the Palace of Justice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not a whole lot of justice
palace
going on.
Nope.
So, let me ask you guys a question. What year did this take place? Did they ever say?
Early 21st century is all they said.
Okay. So, it seemed like...
I don't think they ever actually specified.
No, at the beginning they said in the early 21st century, all the crap went down. But I think this is later on, right? I thought.
I took it as all the crap went down and this is what happened to the survivors. But I don't know how much further on from the early 21st century. So,
2072.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, that's what the internet tells me.
The reason
I don't remember them ever actually specifying.
I don't know if they ever did or if like this was someone who pays too much attention to everything figured
and calculated.
Out. Yeah.
There was something said somewhere, and they're like, okay, well, then we'll add this much time.
Yeah, absolutely.
We get their calculator out or whatever.
Yeah,
but actually, there were seven years mentioned in the one. Yeah, the reason I brought it up was I always think it's funny when a movie is supposed to take place in the future or far in the future, and they're driving around in a 1995 whatever. That
yes,
vehicle.
I noticed that when he drives out into the nether region with the dog, he's driving like a Buick.
Yeah.
Like a crappy white Buick.
Yeah, everything's that whole thing was white and there's not a speck of dirt on it too.
Yeah.
All right. So we are where? Okay, Anessa's turn.
All right. So in this clip we learn what happens when you mess with John's trunk.
Apples. That was full of them.
Sounds like it came from your trunk.
Impossible. Just give me my keys. I'll be on my way. Captain, I'm asking you one last time. Don't do this.
Shut up!
The fight.
Forgot to censor some swears in there.
That's okay. We swear once in a while now.
graduated.
Those fight scenes are just incredibly over the top. Like, I was noticing that they were actually using their pistols or their handguns to fight each other like swords at one point. You know,
yes.
It was just.
Well, it's not so much that the fight scene is over the top, it's their arm movements.
Yeah, like, I thought the arm movements were a bit excessive. When he's walking down, like, this corridor, and he's got the monitors on each side towards the end, he's like, okay, I'm going to shoot this way, cross arms, uncross, cross, uncross, cross. Because he can't just, like, boom, 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 boom. He's got to, like, wave his arms.
And I don't know if I just made this up, but I'm pretty sure in the movie they mention in their training that they do that on purpose.
Yeah,
it's correct. Yeah, it's like
something.
Yeah, I remember it being like a really weird explanation, but at least they explained it instead of it just like happening in the movie.
Yeah, like this is why his arms are flailing when he shoots.
Yeah, yeah.
The one fight scene I thought was the coolest was the one where he pushes his cartridges of bullets into the middle of that room, kills a bunch of people, runs out of ammunition, and just, just like what you did, Anessa. That was cool.
That was cool.
All right, so I think it's my turn for a clippy.
Yes.
Here we learn John accidentally helps escaping sense offenders get caught by his partner. So that's number six. Here we go, number six.
What are you doing?
Nicely done, cleric. You drive them into the trap. I close it.
The very definition of teamwork.
Don't you think? Why don't you take the honors of the execution, cleric?
These people should be taken for clinical interrogation.
Cleric, Father's rulings are quite clear. Offenders ought to be shot on sight.
They have valuable information.
Cleric,
they can be put to much better use.
Cleric, if your weapon's low, please use mine.
And that scene right there will come into play later on in a very vital scene.
Indeed.
Yes. All right. So, Matt, you're up.
Yes, in this conversation between the Resistance leader Jurgen and John, we learned the high price of emotion and what he wants John to do.
You know I was like you. But the first thing you learn about emotion is that it has its price. Complete paradox. But without restraint, without control, emotion is chaos.
But how is that different?
The difference being is that when we want to feel, we can. It's just that some of us have to forego that luxury so that the rest can have it. Some very few of us have to force ourselves not to feel. Like me. Like you.
What can I do?
You can kill Father.
Did you hear my really, really bad edit there at the end?
Yep.
Because there's these big long pauses with just like music or sound or whatever. It's like we'd just be sitting here all night listening to clips.
Yeah, they tried to make it more dramatic by adding those pauses and music.
Yeah. I know what I wanted to mention earlier. I think part of their budget, I mentioned the hair product earlier. I think another big portion of their budget was used to buy motorcycle helmets and trench coats.
I was going to say, I think a big part of their budget went into their wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sets, too, I think. Because they had these big, elaborate doors that didn't need to do the things they did. Like, one part went one way, one part went another way, and then it spun around. And did you guys notice that?
It's supposed to look futuristic.
Like the multiple openings and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anessa, you're up for clips.
After thinking he was busted for being a traitor, we learn that Vice Council DuPont actually wants him to redouble his efforts to find the traitor and the Resistance leader.
Have you been making use of your time of late?
Attempting to contact the Resistance, sir.
How is it that you intend to expose this traitor if all you do is attempt?
You're absolutely 100% right, sir.
The cleric is the final line of defense. If the Resistance compromises it, we are doomed. Father is doomed.
I will redouble my efforts, sir, to locate the Resistance, to find this traitor, and bring them all to the Council's fair justice.
Do it.
There were so many, like, false endings to this film. Like, where you think he's going to get caught, but he doesn't. And then you think that he is double-crossing his partner, but then his partner double-crosses him. It's really a little bit confusing at times. All right, so...
I just wanted to keep people guessing.
Yeah, no. That's the fun part of it, I guess.
Well, one thing I thought of at that part was... And obviously, I'm sure it was meant no other way than it was perceived, where... Vice Council DuPont thought that John was trying to infiltrate the Resistance, but what crossed my mind is, had he not just said, like, yeah, this is what I'm doing, do you think he would have been like, oh, so you're the one that's trying to double-cross us, instead of him coming right out and saying, this is what I'm doing, and DuPont being like, well, maybe he's trying to figure out which cleric is trying to double-cross us. I think I just thought far too in-depth on that part instead of taking it at face value, but that crossed my mind.
No.
It happens.
This movie makes you think, definitely.
So did The Matrix.
Yep. And they looked very much alike.
Yes.
All right. I think it's my turn. Number nine. And we lost Matt. Matt is gone. Matt,
he'll be back.
Disappeared. I will,
much like Arnold, he'll be back.
I will continue then. Here we learn what happens when John gets busted for being a traitor.
It's hard to believe.
But a cleric of the Tetragrammaton to turn his back on everything that he's been taught, to become associated with the resistance, even becoming a champion in its underground. But it's true. I promised I would bring you that man. And I have.
Cleric Brandt.
Sir.
The trace shows that it was your gun in the nether with the sweepers.
That's impossible. This is wrong. He switched them. See, I have his gun now.
Of course you do. You took it when you arrested me.
What?
Take him to the Hall of Destruction for summary judgment and combustion.
Wait. I can explain this. I'm sorry. I'm not feeling.
So John double-crosses his partner there, and then the next scene is when we learn that his partner double-crossed John. So, Matt, you want to get us into it?
Yeah. After it's revealed that John was being used unknowingly to locate the resistance, we find out who the real father is.
Okay, all right. This is the final one. Here we go.
The real father died years ago. The council simply elected me to pursue its eternal tradition. And you, Preston, the supposed savior of the resistance, are now its destroyer. And along with them, you've given me yourself. Good. Entirely without incident. No.
Oh. Shit.
That's two shits in one show. But I wanted to include that so we could talk about it. That noise you heard was the lie detector, and it was going crazy until I think John got to the point where he got so crazy that he got unemotional and
like his emotions just shut down and yeah. He just went on killing everybody.
Yeah,
might as well.
Yeah,
yeah. Lots of killing commenced after that scene right there. Lot of this.
And for those of you not watching the video, you should probably check it out and see everybody waving their arms around.
YouTube.com/GalacticNetcast. I'm just saying. Just saying. All right, there you go. Those is the clips, and that is what we learned. The Sci-Fi Film School, by the way, is brought to you by Audible.com for you, the Galactic Netcast listener. Audible's offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service and to go along with the theme of this show and the theme of the movie this week. I thought that I would suggest another dystopian future story, and this one is a classic one. It's Logan's Run. Are you guys familiar with the Logan's Run?
Actually,
yes. I saw it once.
Yeah, it was a movie, and then it was a TV show. Farrah Fawcett was in the original movie.
I never knew it was a TV show.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad TV show. Not good. But they're remaking
saying
it.
That the movie was good?
No, the movie was not good.
Okay, good.
But the TV show was worse than the movie. It was one of those TV shows where they used a lot of the same footage from the movie. You know, they did that a lot back in the 70s. So anyways, the story Logan's Run, it's the 23rd century, and at age 21, your life is over. Logan 6 has been trained to kill, born and bred from conception to be the best of the best. But his time is short. And before his life ends, he's got one final mission: find and destroy Sanctuary, a fabled haven for those that chose to defy the system. But when Logan meets and falls in love with Jessica, he begins to question the very system he swore to protect, and soon they're both running for their lives. Now, it's interesting because in the book, it's 21, but I believe in the movie and TV show, it's 30.
TV show is 30. I was going to mention that.
Oh, wow. Were you doing like research on the fly?
Yes.
Cool. That's awesome.
You should be proud of me.
I am proud of you. I'm always proud of you, my son.
Thanks, Dad.
Aww. All right.
To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Again, that's audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts for your free audiobook today. And we thank Audible for their support of the Sci-Fi Film School podcast. All right. Are you guys ready for the test?
No.
Maybe. Actually, no, probably not.
Let's go. Let's before we go into this, what do you think your odds are of winning, both of you guys?
I think Matt probably has the better odds just because he actually owns the movie.
Just because I own a lot of movies that I've seen once and never watched again.
I don't know, because when I actually started watching this movie, it was like on day two of a sinus headache, and so I was just kind of meh.
I bet it was on day three of excuses.
Day three was finishing it up right before the podcast.
You know what, Anessa, though? You can half-ass watch something, and you probably get more out of it than both me and Matt combined.
I have a terrible attention span. Like, yep. My attention span is god-awful. I almost don't even want to tell you how bad it is.
All right, so I think this might be easy. I put together some pretty easy questions, so let's find out. Let's flip the coin. Who's going to call it?
She can.
Heads.
Heads. All right, hang on. Whoa. License agreement. Okay.
Which one you picked? Credit card. Because that's what just popped up.
Okay, what'd you say?
Heads.
Heads. All right, here we go. And it is heads. There it is.
All right.
All right, so you want to go or pass, or what do you want to do?
I guess I'll go ahead and go.
All right. Let's start it.
Do it.
All right. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Let me turn this down a little bit. All right, so question number one, Anessa. What painting did the authorities verify as real at the very beginning of the film when they're raiding that compound of sense offenders? What painting did the authorities verify as real at the very beginning of the film?
The Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa. I just said Mona Lisa.
Oh, Mona Lisa. Sorry.
All right. Anessa draws first blood. I'm gonna start calling her Rambo. All right, so, all right, here we go. Matt, it's your question. Mm-hmm. What is the name of the emotion suppressing drug called?
Oh, man. Provax? Provax? We even talked about it. You know how bad my attention span is? Prozium. I found it in the doc.
You cheated! You're
I'm over here, like, signing.
Yeah.
I suppose, since it's in the doc.
If it was anywhere else, I wouldn't have even bothered.
Yeah,
looking.
it's my own fault for.
It is your fault.
All right.
So Matt and Anessa are tied at one each. This is more exciting than that damn NHL playoff game tonight.
Well, there's sports tonight.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Sports ball. No. All right, here we go.
Bum-ba-dum.
It is Anessa's turn. Question number three. Here we go. All right. So let me start over.
The legal emotion. Emotions are not legal, Dave.
The illegal emotional stimulus book of poetry that Errol Partridge takes for his own to read is by what author? The illegal. Yates. What?
Yeats. Y-E-A-T-S. It was big on the cover of the book, and they kept showing it.
Yep, you got it. Hang on. Let me,
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Wow, 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 wow!
That deserves three. Congratulations, Vanessa.
That was I never would have got that one.
It's like William Butler Yeats, like, or something.
Yeah, it's like right there on the screen. Like, he's holding it like this.
Because they kept showing the book. Because, like, first he was looking at the book. And he was looking at it backwards. Like, he was going back in the book before he started reading it left to right. Did you notice that?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, yeah, because when Preston walks in, I don't remember the name of the guy, but Sean Bean was flipping back to the beginning of the book, and then once Preston was in front of him, he was starting to read, like, left. I guess he was looking something up.
Or he was nervous because he knew he was going to die, you know?
Yeah, so, but yeah, they kept showing the cover of the book.
And then he got shot through the cover of the book. So you saw it again. Yes.
Which somehow went through his neck.
Yeah, I thought it would have gone through his head because he had it like up in his face.
Or at least the face.
In your face.
So, in your face.
All right, let's move on to question number 4. Whose turn was it?
It's mine.
Okay. Name 2 out of 3 things that John did to cause him to experience emotion after he stopped taking the Prozium. Name 2 of the 3 things that John did to help him experience emotion right after he stopped taking the Prozium. There was a few things.
Are you talking...
purposefully he did, you know, things that...
Things that caused him to not take the Prozium or things that he did to... sense emotion after not take. Okay.
Yeah.
He took off his glove and put his hand on the railing.
Okay.
There was, I don't know if this counts, but the dog scene.
Okay, that's not one of the things I have, but.
Oh, I had to think back a little further then.
Yeah, earlier.
The bullet holes. When he's walking along the wall and he puts his hand up.
That's too close. That's too close to feeling the railing.
What do you mean that's too close to feeling the railing? You didn't say that they couldn't be close. You just I know, 2 of the 3.
Yeah, this is a bad question, I know.
When he wakes up and rips the plastic off his window?
Okay, yes. You got it. I would have also accepted rearranging his desk.
I wouldn't even have thought of that one.
Yeah, I didn't think of that one either. I was thinking about like when he saw the rainbow and stuff after tearing off the plastic.
Yeah,
that was a pretty intense scene there. All right, Anessa, here we go. Your question. Okay, what was John's excuse for keeping the puppy?
To get it tested for diseases.
Damn it.
Yep, you got it. You guys are both doing really well, though.
You just jinxed the crap out of it.
You did. It's like, oh, you guys are doing awesome. Let me ask you the next really easy question that no one's ever going to get.
You guys, Nessa's ahead by 1, but only by 1, so. All right, question number 6. I have 8 questions, by the way. So this could be a tie.
Mm-hmm.
Possible. All right. The question is, Matt, what word was written on the back of the photo of Errol Partridge and Mary O'Brien?
Freedom.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah!
Man, doing good.
It's about to go down.
So we are tied going into the last 2 questions. We are tied.
Bum, bum, bum.
All right. So, Anessa, this is your question. Question number 7. How long had John's kids been off the Prozium?
Since their mother died 4 years prior.
Wow. I'm so nervous right now.
All right. Coming down to 1 question. 1 question. Matt, you got to get this. And then it's tied.
Yeah, right.
I didn't think about that. I'm going to have to come up with another question, I think. All right. We shall see. All right. It's question number 8. What was the second to last image they showed in the movie?
Oh. Come on! I don't know.
I don't even know this one.
The Justice Palace burning down. I got nothing.
The last scene was John's face, and right before John's face.
And I remember John's face.
I don't remember what came before it. Fire. Oh, this is really easy. Let me ask you the most obscure and ridiculous question.
You're gonna kill me. You're gonna hate yourself for not knowing this when I reveal the answer.
Okay, so
okay, Anessa. What was the second to last image they showed in the movie?
Because my guess would have been Matt's guess.
The fire? Burning?
Huh?
Burning?
Yeah, the explosions and stuff.
Okay.
But if it's not that,
she's gonna figure this out just by reasoning here.
I have to think.
Hang on. Music.
His kids? I don't really know. I don't know if he was like thinking back to his kids or if it was like the ribbon in his pocket or something.
What?
The ribbon in his pocket?
Don't give it to her.
Seriously?
It's the ribbon in his hand, yeah.
Congratulations, Anessa.
I hate this game.
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game. Wait.
I said I hate the game.
But yeah, that was damn close. You guys, that was a battle, man. You guys duked it out.
That was a really hard question at the end, too, because I don't know.
This game sucks.
All right, another win for Anessa. Anessa is currently at 6. 6 wins to Matt's 0 wins. I'm sorry. You just hate me, don't you? You just hate. Just the look.
Are you pretty sorry?
Okay, so before the show started, Matt found his some toys on his microphone. He can do all kinds of weird things with it. Do another one.
I have this one.
This one? Which one was it? It sounds like you're the informant.
The informant?
Yeah, do the informant.
It's this one.
Please transfer $5 million to an offshore account.
That's the best. See, it's all...
there's the other one we did.
It puts the lotion in the basket or else it gets the hose again.
That's the best. Okay. All right. Before we reveal next week's movie or next show's movie, don't forget to go to galacticnetcasts.com and click on store. We've changed some names around on the menu. Click on store to purchase a copy of Equilibrium, which is a great way to support both Galactic Netcasts and the Sci-Fi Film School. And while you're on the site, while you're on the store, you can buy T-shirts with Galactic Netcast logos on them. T-shirts and mugs and mouse pads and hats, all kinds of things with our logo on them. And they're all fairly inexpensive. So that's another great way of supporting our network by putting our logo, putting our name on your body.
When do my business cards show up?
You're not getting business cards. Sorry.
That was in my contract.
We're also thinking about making some customized shirts for maybe each show. So that's something that I'm working on. So look for that in the store in the future. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. And don't forget to subscribe either via Stitcher, Smart Radio. That's the app that you can put on your phone or your tablet. Or just go to iTunes and search for either the Sci-Fi Film School or Galactic Netcasts. And subscribe, comment, give us 5 stars. We'd really appreciate that. So before we get out of here, got to reveal next week's movie.
Bum, bum, bum.
Are you ready?
No.
Yes.
It's a Dave pick, so it's going to be a big steamy heap of crap.
I've wanted to watch this. I've wanted to watch this for a long, long time. It's a classic. 1968, starring Jane Fonda.
Oh.
Barbarella.
Oh, come on.
Barbarella.
Could be worse, Matt. I could be doing the picking.
And there's, you know what? There's a lot bigger pieces of crap on Netflix than this movie. Because you search for Barbarella, you get all the stuff that is Barbarella-like.
Like Conan the Barbarian?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool to watch.
It's not sci-fi, though.
It's not sci-fi.
That's fantasy.
I don't care.
All right, here is the explanation, the brief synopsis.
Barely legal. I watch that all day.
There's softcore like sex scenes in Barbarella, so that might make you happy, Ooh. Matt. Yes.
Now I sound like the most terrible human being to however many people listen to this. They'd be like, man, he drinks and he watches porno.
You're just a dude, man. You're a dude. Well,
thank you.
All right, so a shapely 41st century space traveler must apprehend scientist Durand Durand, and yes, that's where Durand Durand got their name from.
Really?
Yes, whose creation threatens to bring evil back to the galaxy. En route, Barbarella discovers the joys of celestial sex and has kinky misadventures with bizarre characters.
Yes!
Can't wait to watch this. Can't wait. This is going to be awesome. So, if you want to follow along with us.
Something.
Yeah. If you want to follow along with us, watch Barbarella. It's currently on Netflix. And then join us in 2 weeks for the next Sci-Fi Film School podcast. So, that's going to be it. Thanks for joining us, guys. Any final thoughts?
I'm really tired.
It's that beer. Making you tired.
Or the fact that it is 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I played sports today.
Yes. Mm-hmm. A number of things. They all built up.
I'm old.
You're not old.
Like 45.
No, that's me. I'm 46.
See, aren't I the youngest one out of all of us? And I complain the most about being tired and old.
I know. I hate to see you in like 10, 15 years.
I just hope to be dead.
Yeah, 5 years. Yeah. All right, so your final thoughts you're tired. That's your final thought.
No, I mean, I guess if we're going to, in all reality, watching this movie after not watching it in probably like 2 or 3 years, it was interesting because obviously my mindset has changed in a few years, like I said, with the dogs and stuff. I apparently have turned into a considerably larger vagina in the past few years because I'm like, oh, they're shooting those dogs. And like, I made my wife look away. I'm like, don't watch. They're going to do this. And then he's holding the dog. And I'm like, I just want to hug my dog right now.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding. I'm like, dogs, where are you? We're going to be friends right now.
Dog's like, leave me alone. I'm trying to sleep.
Final thoughts, I'm a vagina now.
No, it's okay. You're
a sleepy vagina.
You're a glass vagina with the
glass. I'm classy. I'm a classy one.
What is it? Gynecologically demure? Demure?
I don't know that was a reference much about from vaginas.
The last. That's the throwback from the last movie, man.
Throwback from the last podcast.
Yes.
Let's have a party.
Oh, I have when that on my soundboard. Hang on.
When was the last time you guys like went outside?
Today.
All you do is talk about sci-fi and podcasts. I just want to make sure you're getting your vitamin D by going outside.
Oh, I walk to work.
Well, when you move to Wisconsin, you can't do that so much, like 6 months, 9 months out of the year. Let's have a
party. I am going to miss that.
Sorry. All right. Anessa, what's your final thought?
Let's have a party.
No, you can't.
She's a woman.
No. You can't use that because you use that like at least.
I think I did.
At least on one podcast.
Yeah, I used it last time. Yeah, I'm going to kind of miss walking to work once I move to Wisconsin.
All right. That pertains to the show in no way, but it's equally as good, so.
It is. Well, because Matt brought it up. Okay. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
All right, that's going to do it. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.